You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Amen. Well, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22, and I want to say I have greatly enjoyed this conference, this meeting, and every song, every message that has been preached. I believe God has been in every bit of it, amen? And the singspiration, I've enjoyed that, amen? Just the good singing. Last night I was standing there, and the singing and praising was going on, and my phone lit up and said, loud environment. You know you're doing something when you make Siri nervous, amen? And, I like a loud environment, don't you? I don't want to go to a funeral home when I go to church, amen? And if they can shout at a ball game, we can shout over the Word of God. Calvary and eternal salvation, amen? It's all real, amen? And boy, I've enjoyed just the messages have been so challenging. And I love your pastor, and I thank God for his spirit and his wisdom. And what a blessing he and his wife is, and we thank God for that. I want to preach a few minutes this morning. I'll be honest with you, I didn't come to preach this message, but I got up this morning. This passage of scripture was on my heart, and I just want to preach what's on my heart this morning. Luke chapter 22, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God and prayer, we'll read this passage of scripture and pray and then let you be seated. Look with me in verse number 31. The Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Father, I ask you this morning in Jesus' name that you would help us these next few moments, Lord, just to deliver the burden that you've laid upon our heart. I pray that you would be pleased with our worship. I pray that you would get all the glory and the honor. Lord, I ask that we would not see no man save Jesus only. I ask this morning, God, that we would receive with meekness the engrafted word. Lord, that you would open our eyes to behold wondrous things in thy law. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the blood of Christ. We ask you now, Lord, to get glory and honor, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice with me in verse number 1, the individuals, or verse 31, the individuals that is in this verse. There's three individuals in verse 31. There is the Savior, as the Bible says, and the Lord said. Now, anytime Jesus is going to say something, we ought to listen. Amen? And then there is Simon. Jesus calls Simon's name not once, but he calls it twice. And then there is Satan. Notice what he said. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan. Now, there's a good picture there because you've got the Lord on one side in this text. You've got Satan on the other side. And you've got man in the middle. And you know, doesn't it seem like oftentimes in this life that's how it is? I mean, the Lord is going in one direction, but Satan is always trying to pull us in another direction. Amen? And so there's the individuals in this text. And then I want you to see the instructions that are given in this text. Notice in verse number 31, Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, when Jesus gives these instructions here, it's easy to see the urgency of these instructions. He calls Simon's name twice. I thought about when I was a child growing up, when my mother or father, if they called my name, it meant to come. But if they ever called my name twice, there was an urgency behind that. And Jesus is emphasizing the urgency of the instructions that he's about to give him. And then we see not only the urgency of these instructions, but notice the ugliness of it. He said, Satan hath desired to have you. You know, that ought to get our attention this morning. Because the same devil that was after Peter is the same devil that's after me and the same devil that's after you. Amen? And then we see not only the ugliness of it, but the understanding. Why would the devil want Peter? I mean, why would he even be bothered with Peter? Here's the answer, that he may sift you as wheat. You say, preacher, I've been in the ministry for years. Yes, but the devil desires to have you. Well, why would he want me? Who am I? He wants to do to you what he did to everyone else in these scriptures. He wants to sift you as wheat. There is the instructions. Verse 32 gives the inspiration that we'll deal with this morning. And then we go to verse number 33 here. And I want you to notice the intentions here. The Bible says Peter is going to speak now. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. Now think about this morning. Peter gives a very swift answer. If you go back to verse number 31 and verse 32, Jesus wants to talk to Peter about the two most important things in the Christian life. He wants to talk to him about prayer and about faith. Amen? He said, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but he said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So Jesus is having a conversation with Peter, and he wants to talk about prayer, and he wants to talk about faith. And Peter, it's almost as if he doesn't even hear those words. And he says, Lord, he said, I want you to know I'm ready to go to prison and to death. The swiftness of his answer, the sincerity of his answer, the severeness of his answer. He talks about prison and death. I read that one day and I thought to myself, Peter, I really believe sincerely that Peter believed he was ready to go to prison and death. See, how do you know that, preacher? Because when those soldiers showed up, Peter pulled his sword out and he cut the ear off of that soldier. He was willing to fight. He was willing to go forward, but really he wasn't as ready as he thought he was. You know, when I was a teenager and I got my driver's license, like every other teenager, you know what? I thought I was ready to go. Amen. I mean, you wait for that day, you get those licenses. You know what? You want your parents to give you the keys, give you the car, man, you're ready to drive to Michigan, amen? I mean, you're ready to get behind the wheel and go somewhere. But you know, my parents knew something that I didn't know at 16 years of age. I thought I was ready to go, but I really wasn't. You know, the only person that really knows when we're ready is the Lord. I started preaching in a jail on Monday nights when I first got called to preach. And then I thought I was ready to go preach all over the world, all over the country. But you know what? God knew. He knows when we're ready. And I see here the intentions, though they were sincere, they were sincerely wrong. And then notice the iniquity in verse 34. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny me. Let me mention just a thing or two and I'll give you our thought and move on. Jesus shocks Peter and the rest of the disciples in this text because Jesus reveals that Satan is after you. Of all the disciples, Peter, I want you to know Satan has got you on his calendar. He's got you on his list. He is after you. He desires to sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee. He said, Lord, I want to make an announcement. I want you to know, and I want all the disciples to know. I want the world to know. I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then the shocking truth, Peter, you're going to fail. Now, how would you like to get out of the bed this morning and say, before the sun ever come up, and say to the Lord, say, now, Lord, I want to serve you. And God, I've never been more serious about living for you in all my life. And God, I just want you to know I give you everything. And God, I'm willing to go to the very end and serve you. And God say to you, you're going to fail. And you're not just going to fail. Look at this verse. It gets really bad. It gets really ugly in this verse. He says, Peter, you're going to fail, but you're going to fail me today. Look what he said. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day. Peter, I want you to know you've made a bold announcement here, but you're going to fail, and you're going to fail today. Boy, I can see the disciples, like a lot of good preachers, you don't take a step back from Peter. And then it gets a little bit worse. He says, Peter, you're not just going to fail today, not just one time, but look what it says here. Before thou shalt thrice deny me. I can see the disciples take another step back. Peter, you're not just going to fail once. You're not just going to fail twice, but you're going to fail three times today. Failure. Then he goes even further. You're going to fail terribly, Peter, because you're going to do the worst thing that a Christian can do. you're going to deny that you even know who I am. Boy, it'd be one thing if you heard that I was out drinking. Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't that mar the ministry? Wouldn't that mar the name if you heard that I got drunk, that maybe I got a DUI? That would be terrible, but that's not the worst thing a Christian can do. Well, if you heard that I had fallen into sin, God forbid, some perversion. We've all heard those stories, and those are terrible things, but it's not the worst thing that a child of God can do. Peter's not just going to do the worst thing that a Christian can do, but he's going to do it three times in one day. I'm talking about a failure. But what's amazing about this text this morning is that when we come to it, is that Jesus is not disturbed by Peter's failure. Now, he's going to deal with it one day. There's coming a time in John chapter 20 when after the resurrection, they're going to sit around the fire and Jesus is going to deal with Peter's failure. Now, you mark it down. We all have to face our failures in life. God's not going to sweep it under the rug. He's not going to make it okay. He's not going to act like it doesn't exist. At the right time, he will deal with Peter's failure. But I want to make a note of this. He deals with it compassionately. But today, on this day, it's not Peter's failure that Jesus is focusing on. It's his faith. And I want to preach just a few minutes this morning on that subject, on the faith of a failure. The faith of a failure. Because let's just be honest this morning, every one of us has failed, haven't we? Every one of us has our failures in life. And listen, the amazing thing about God is that God is not impressed with our success. But thank God he's not disturbed by our failures. Amen. I'm not here this morning telling you that I have never failed. You would know that best. That would be a lie. There's no sense in me trying to tell you that I've not failed at serving God, that I've not failed in the Christian life, and I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to fail again. Now, I don't want to fail. Peter didn't want to fail, but the reality is that we're all failures in this life. I've met some people that, you know, they thought they were hot stuff and they thought they had everything going. And if you read their Facebook page, it's just one success after another, you know, and they never have any failures. And every Sunday's a golden Sunday and everybody's always getting saved and their ministry's always flourishing. But let's just be real honest. That's not how it always is. Nobody goes on social media and said, well, Sunday school was down today and I had three members leave the church and you know, my wife said my preaching stunk and everything was just terrible. And you know, I mean, nobody talks about their failures. Jesus is not impressed. He already knows about the failures of Peter, but today it's all about Peter's faith. I've met preachers down through the years of I've got a list of preachers I've pastored in almost 26 years, and I write I've got their names on a list of 52 men that I've pastored. And at the top of that list, I've got it titled. It's a prayer list, but it's called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's what it is called. And beside their name, I put good. I put bad. I put ugly. You can hide your halo and tuck your wings in. If you're a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. I put loyal, disloyal, partially loyal, sometimes loyal, never been loyal. I wrote it. I mean, I'll show it to you if you want to see it. I'll take a picture and send it to you. I ain't one bit ashamed about it. But I look down through that list, and many times, I pray for those men. Some of them I pray New Testament prayers for, that God would bless them and help them. Other men I pray Old Testament prayers for, prayers like where David said, God break their teeth out, amen. I better not lie, amen. Can't lie in the pulpit, can we? But you know, when I looked at those lists, I'm going to tell you what I've seen looking down through those preachers down through the years. The ones that came in that thought they had a lot to offer never lasted. They never lasted. But the ones that came in that said, you know, I'm just not much. I don't know, preacher, if God could ever use me. I fail. Those are the ones that are still in the race. Those are the ones that are still pressing on. You see, if we was to go around this room this morning, and if I was to ask you this morning, how many of you are here because in 2023 you did not fail God in 2023? Not a hand would be lifted. How many of you here today because you somehow, some way in 2023, you was able to escape the devil? You every day was a sunny day in your life, and there was no enemy, there was no foe, there was no adversary. You didn't face the devil in 2023. Not a hand would be lifted. You're not here this morning because you haven't failed. You're not here this morning because you hadn't faced a foe. You know what brought you from last year to this conference to this year to this conference? What keeps you, preacher, going to the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, week after week, keeps you going to that Sunday school class week after week? It's not that you've not failed. It's not that you've not faced the devil. No, it's your faith, amen? It's your faith that keeps you going when everything else has fallen apart. I want you to look with me very quickly at verse 32. I want to give you three things about the faith of a failure. I want you to see, first of all, that the faith of a failure must be prayed for. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but," I thank God for that "but" right there. "But I have prayed for thee." Now, if I was going to have anybody praying for me outside my, listen, this morning, if I had to pick one human person in this life to pray for me, I would choose my wife to pray for me.
Amen.
But outside of that this morning, if there was nobody else, I want to tell you, if there's one person above all, even above her this morning, that I would want to pray for me, I would want the Lord to pray for me. The truth of the text is this morning, and I may have mentioned this the other night, we don't really know who does pray for us. You know, people oftentimes will come by and they'll say, "I'm praying for you." And it's not that I don't believe that, but that can become a cliche sometimes. I think that we should all pray every day. We should say, "Well, Brother Gravely, who should I pray for?" Number one, you ought to pray for your family. Number two, you ought to pray for your church. And then number three, you ought to pray for everyone that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. I cannot pray for the whole world. You cannot pray for the whole world. But if I pray for my family, if I pray for my church, and then I'll pray for who the Holy Spirit lays on my heart, and if you'll pray for who the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, guess what? Everybody get prayed for. But this morning, there is one that has prayed for every single one of us. He has prayed for me, and he has prayed for you. He doesn't slumber nor sleep, as we heard the other night. And so while we were fast asleep, he was sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And he knows every need that we have. And he never has any problem talking to the Father or interpreting anything that ever needs to be said. He knows the Father's heart, and the Father knows his heart. And that very one has prayed for me. And he's prayed for you this morning. I'm glad when the devil's on our trail, and when the devil desires to have us, and when the devil desires to sift us as we, I'm glad there's somebody at the right hand of the Father interceding, my friend, for me and for you. If you want to know how you've made it all these years, if you want to know how you keep on keeping on, I'll tell you how. You're running on somebody's prayers that never fail, that never falter, that never give in. Hey, somebody has prayed for me and you. His name is Jesus. Our high priest, our best friend, our mediator, our go-between, the one that can take the sovereign hand of God and the sinful hand of man and bring it together. He's prayed for us this morning. I'm so glad for that. He said, "Peter, I prayed for you." Well, it means something when somebody tells you, "I'm praying for you." I like to hear the Lord say every now and then, "Son, I'm praying for you." You know, I thought about this. He said, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And Jesus could have prayed anything for Peter he wanted to. If I'd have been Jesus, I probably would have prayed this. I probably would have prayed, "Now, Lord, the devil is coming after Peter, but don't let the devil come to Peter. Keep the devil away from Peter." That'd been a good prayer to pray, but Jesus didn't pray that. He didn't pray, "Keep the devil away." You say, why didn't he do that? Because he knew the devil would show up the next day. He didn't pray that. Peter's going to have to face the devil. Another prayer he could have prayed was, now, Lord, don't let Peter fail. The devil is going to come after Peter, but don't let him fail. Let him win this battle. Let him win this victory. Lord, don't let him fall on his face. That would have been a good prayer to pray, but he didn't pray that either. He let Peter fall on his face. But through all of that, it wasn't Peter's flesh he was praying about. It wasn't his foe. He's praying for his faith. He's praying for that faith. Why would Jesus even let the devil sift Peter? Why does God allow that? Never was there a man in the New Testament more sifted than Peter. Never was there a man in the Old Testament more sifted than Job. Yet God allowed it. Why would he do that? I think it's for this simple reason. One, it would have to be to silence the devil, wouldn't it? Because the devil came before God and said, if you'll take away everything Job has, he'll curse you to his face. He worked through Job's wife, and the very thing that he told God came out of his wife's mouth. No doubt the devil was putting those words in the heart of that woman that was brokenhearted. And she said, Job, you just curse God and die. And I'll tell you, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. And I'll tell you what, when Job rose out of those ashes, he never said anything about the devil one time. He never one time gave the devil any credit. But he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. The only one he was talking about when he come out of the ashes was the Lord. Don't you know that silenced the devil? And I think it was to strengthen the saint. That's why he allows us to be sifted. Peter will be better after a failure more than he would have been after a success. And then it would be to show the glory of God. The faith of a failure must be prayed for. And then secondly, notice the faith of a failure must prevail. Think about this with me this morning. The faith of a failure must prevail. He said that in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, notice this, that thy faith fail not. Peter, I'm praying for you, but I want you to know something. I'm not just praying for you, I'm praying for your faith. And I want you to understand, Peter, that this is, and God, Jesus always prays specifically. Amen. Peter, I'm praying for your faith, but I want you to know what I'm praying for your faith. I'm praying that your faith fails not. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of things happens to Peter in this one day. But the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Amen? And so Peter is having the worst day in his Christian life. You know, I'm glad that when you and I are having the worst day in our Christian life, I'm glad somebody's still praying for us. Peter's worst day. And Jesus has prayed for his faith that it would prevail. His flesh falls apart. I mean, he cusses. Not the first preacher I heard cuss. He cusses. He denies the Lord. Not but once, not twice, but three times. And when I think about that this morning, through all of that, you say, well, where's there any faith in Peter's life? I mean, it doesn't look like he's got a lot of faith. It doesn't look like his faith is prevailing. Oh, it's in there. I'll tell you where it's seen. It's seen at the end of all of that mess when Peter's flesh is falling apart. He looks over and he sees Jesus. It's always good when you see Jesus. Even on the worst day in your life. He looks over and he sees Jesus. And the Bible said he wept bitterly. You know what caused Peter to weep? It was his faith. Because even when his flesh was falling apart, even when he was going around telling everybody, I don't know who he is. I'm telling you, I don't know him. I never met the man. I don't know the man. But something on the inside was saying, oh yeah, you know who he is, Peter. You're saying you don't know. Your flesh is saying one thing, but hey, something on the inside rising up saying, now Peter, you know better than that. I was thinking about our girls this morning. I got two daughters. We have two daughters. And I thank God for both of them. And they're wonderful, wonderful girls. And I was thinking about them this morning. You know, I could bring, if they were here, say they were here this morning, and one of them could come up and could publicly make an announcement to this congregation. They could say, now, he says he's my father, but I just want to make an announcement. He's not my father. They could totally deny me this morning. They could say, now he's going to try to convince you that we know each other. He's going to try to convince you that he's my dad, but I want everybody to know he is not my dad. They could publicly deny me and might even convince some people. But here's the thing. No matter what they say, I know that deep down they know that I am their dad. They can tell you all day long what they want to, but there is a connection, an inward connection, that I know that they may be saying one thing. You say, but they're saying that. Oh, I know they're saying that, but I can tell you what I know they're feeling on the inside. And Jesus knew Peter's heart because he knew his faith, and faith comes out of the heart of a man. And so even though on the worst day of Peter's life, when he's running around saying, hey, we've all said things we don't mean, amen? We've been like Peter on the positive side. Lord, I'm ready to go to prison and death. He thought, Peter, you don't mean that. You think you mean it, but you don't mean it. And then Peter runs around a little bit later and says, I don't even know who Jesus is. Now, Peter, you're saying that, but you don't really mean that. But he saw his faith. When he went out and he wept, what looked like defeat was total victory in Peter's life. Because this is where God has to bring us all to strengthen us. He has to bring us to the point where we're so low, where we're so broken, where we see ourselves for who we really are, and we see him for who he really is. You're never going to do anything for God with your chest pooched out, thinking that you're something, thinking you're strong, thinking you're mighty, thinking I can go. Them bold statements that we make, you're never going to do. I'm going to tell you, when you get real with God, and where it gets real is when you get broken and you get on your face and say, God, I can't, but you can. Lord, I ain't, but you are. Lord, I'm just a failure, but you're everything. Lord, I'll never be able to do anything if you don't help me. That's when business is going to pick up. That's when he'll wrap him loving arms around you. I'm telling you, it's through the tears and through the years that God sees and he uses the failures in our life. That's when faith prevails. Really, when Peter was at his worst, he was at his best, because God was at his best. I'm afraid sometimes when we think we're at our best, we're probably at our worst. The faith of a failure, it must prevail and it must be prayed for. And then I'll give you this final thought. The faith of a failure, it must be profitable. Look what Jesus said in the last part of this verse. It's amazing what he says here. He says, when thou art converted, look at this, strengthen thy brethren. Now, can I ask you a question? How in the world is a man that's falling going to fall apart in just a few moments? Going to do the worst thing that a Christian could ever do? How's he going to strengthen anybody? When I look at Peter's life and I look at on this day, he doesn't look like a whole lot of, he doesn't look like somebody that's going to profit the ministry. A man that's going to deny Jesus in the heat of the battle. A man that's going to deny Christ in a time when Jesus needed him the most. In a time when they're going to arrest him and they're going to take him out. If there was ever one hour that Jesus needed somebody to take a stand and stand up and be counted, it's this hour, and this is the hour that Peter's going to fail. But yet Jesus is not talking about failure. He's talking about profit. He said, Peter, when you get converted, when all this passes over, I want you to strengthen the brethren. You know, this is an interesting thought right here. It's an interesting thought that the disciples' names are mentioned four times in the Gospels and listed four times. And every time they're listed, do you know whose name is first? It's Peter. And when they went to the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible does not say that it was James, John, and Peter. It says it was Peter, James, and John. And then at the Garden of Gethsemane, in our Lord's hour, when they're praying, it doesn't say that it was James, John, and Peter, or John, James, and Peter, but it said it was Peter, James, and John. On Resurrection Day, the personal message was sent to just one person. I want you to go tell Peter. He's got a first ministry. Peter's going to be first. Of all the 12, he's first. Lord, you mean he gets to go to the forefront, the worst preacher of all of us? It's Pentecost, and they're going to have a conference. You talk about a camp meeting. It's Pentecost. Somebody's going to preach Pentecost. Now, if I would have been choosing one of the disciples to preach Pentecost, it would not have been Peter. But Tony, I'd been afraid he'd cussed. And he just about did. If you go back and read that sermon, I was reading that the other day, and I thought, man, this blows my mind. He's preaching Pentecost. You know what he does? He blows that crowd out for the very same thing he did. He said, you have crucified and denied the Lord of glory. When I read that, I thought, wait a minute, Peter, you did that. Well, that sounds like a camp meeting, amen. He blows them out for the very thing he did. See, here's the truth of this text. If it would have been John first, I could understand that. Everything we read about John the Beloved standing, oh yeah, I can understand why John would preach Pentecost. I mean, he stood at the cross, he laid his head on the bosom of Jesus. Oh yeah, I mean, we know why 3,000 people got saved. I mean, guess who was doing the preaching? No wonder 3,000 people got saved. I mean, John the Beloved's up there preaching. We just knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to tell you, when Peter preached and 3,000 souls walked the aisle, there wasn't one but one person that could get the glory. There wasn't but one person that could get the honor. I'm telling you, it wasn't about Peter at Pentecost. It wasn't about no the disciples. I'm telling you, they was one. They was a mighty, a rushing wind that blew from the heavens. And Peter knew that it wasn't Peter doing the preaching, but there was somebody on this day. Faith had risen. Thank God it prevailed, and it was profitable. Amen. It's a different Peter at Pentecost. In fact, if you go back and read, everything Peter said before then was wrong except for one thing. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even in that conversation, if you read that dialogue, he says there, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed to thee, but by my Spirit, the Spirit of God used Peter in that. But in the same dialogue, just a few, you just read on down there just a little bit further, Jesus starts talking about the cross, and Peter opens his mouth, and this time it's not the Spirit of God. He said, far be it from thee, Lord. And Jesus calls him Satan. Now, how would you like for Jesus to call you the devil? Same conversation, God uses him, and flesh shows back up. But I'll tell you what happens in this text here is that Peter's faith was profitable. You know, I close with this verse. This verse always amazes me. The Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times. Now, I got a question about that little phrase. How is a man that, you know, 7's a number of completion. How is a man that's constantly falling, constantly falling, constantly failing, constantly failing? How would you call a man like that just? I mean, this guy, every time he gets up, he just falls right back down. He gets back up again, goes on for God, he fails again. Fails again, fails again. That guy's got problems. And God said he's a just man. How's a man just? A just man falls 7 times, but it's not the end of the verse. He riseth up again. Peter's going to rise up again. He's not having a good day here in Luke 22, but he's going to rise up again. Here's the big question. Not just how is that man just, but probably a more important question about that verse is, what is it that's getting that man back up every time he falls? I mean, he falls, but something is obviously getting him back up and getting going on again. He's going to fall again. We already know that, but he's going to get back up no matter how many times he fails, no matter how many times he falls. He's going to just keep on getting back up. You say, what is that? It's not what's on the outside when he's falling apart. It's what's on the inside. Amen. And preacher, I'm going to tell you, you may strike oil this Sunday or you may strike out, but I'll tell you, there'll be something in your heart that'll make you want to go back to the pulpit one more time and take one more text and preach that sermon one more time. Give it one more Sunday. Knock on one more door. You know what that is? It's faith. Hallelujah. There is nothing profitable in me this morning but faith. I'm telling you this morning, I am not a success. I am an utter failure. But 30-something years ago, in a little storefront building, God gave me a measure of faith, and I deposited that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what has kept me going all these years, through the ups and the downs, the mountains and the valleys, it's been faith. It's been faith. You know, you may come to this conference and you may be here and you may have lost hope. You may have lost sight. You may need to refocus. But you still have faith. I had a lady come to an altar a few years ago, and she had went through great trials in her life. And we were in the altar dealing with her, me and my wife, and she said to me, this lady has loved God and lived for God. But she was not having a good day. And she said to me, I have failed God so much. I failed Him so much. She said, preacher, I don't even think I'm saved. I said, why do you not think you're saved? She said, I got saved when I was a little girl. And of course, she told me she wasn't saved, but then she told me she got saved. Amen. And she said, I went down to the altar. You know what the devil kept telling her because of her failures in life? Well, how do you know if you really even believed? And she said, I don't know. It's been so many years ago. I was so small. I remember some of the details, but I can't remember all the details. And she said, I don't even know if I had faith the day that I got saved. I said, well, I can tell you if you had faith the day you got saved. She said, how do you know that? I said, well, let me ask you right now. I said, do you believe right now? She said, oh, yeah, I believe. I said, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? She said, I believe. Do you believe He's your Savior? She said, well, yeah, I believe that right now. I said, well, evidence that you believe then is what you believe right now. I'm going to tell you something. Faith never ends, friend. Everything in life may fall apart. There's coming a day, listen, when everything we're attached to, we're going to detach from. I'm talking about ministry. I'm talking about our loved ones. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about families. I'm talking about everything. There's coming an end to all of this one day, and we're going to make the crossing. And when it comes time to make the crossing, guess what? We'll be detached from everything in this world. But there's one thing that'll still connect us from this world to the next world. It'll be our faith. Amen. I'm going to tell you, our faith is going to end in sight when we see the one who has loved us and prayed for us and kept us and walked with us all these years. And this walk of life, oh, listen to me. We're all failures. But I'm glad that the faith of a failure is still profitable.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.